Welcome to the Over a Cup podcast. I'm your host, Tara Cole. This podcast is for moms who feel too busy, distracted, and tired to spend time with Jesus, much less help their kids do the same. This podcast will help you feel encouraged, inspired, and equipped to fight distractions and find the time to deepen your family's relationship with Jesus. Thank you so much for being here with me. Pour yourself a cup as we learn how to focus on Jesus together. Friends, welcome back to another episode of the Over a Cup podcast. I am so glad you're here. This time we are talking about five foundational prayers for your children's faith. These prayers come from my book, Everyday Prayers for the School Year, that we have been going over in season three of the podcast. If you haven't listened to all of them yet, I've had guests come in, I've had some solo episodes, but we've been talking about in depth the topics covered in my book that came out in August of 2022 called Everyday Prayers for the School Year. And so in this episode, there are five prayers in this book that I believe are foundational to developing our children's faith. And so we're going to talk about those in a little bit more depth today. The first one comes from one of my favorite scriptures. It's Psalms 139:14. It says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." This is one of my favorite verses since I've been a teenager, because so many times during my life, I have clung to this verse when I have not felt fearfully and wonderfully made. We all know that our kids struggle with their self-image at some point in their lives, whether it's during their middle school years when everyone's growing bigger or taller or is looking more mature, or the girls are starting to wear makeup or develop more while your daughter is not yet, or the boys are getting taller while your son is not yet, or kids are struggling with acne, or even in college, that's when my hair turned white overnight and I really struggled with my self-image. But at some point in our children's lives, they will really struggle with their self-image. And we want to ground them in what God says about them, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, that He loves them and cares for them no matter what, that He made them special. He intentionally made them the way they are, whether it's their hair color, their personality, their temperament. But we really want to give our children a sense of identity that is founded in God and not on the changing nature of their appearance or what's going on at the outside or what people say about them. Because so often, I know us as growing up as kids and now our own kids, we base our identities on what people say about us, but that really isn't who we are. Who we are is what God says about us. He's the creator. His is the only opinion that matters. And so we want to continually point our kids to God and what He says about them. I wish I could tell you that this will fix them overnight, but as you probably know from your own life, it takes hearing these messages over and over and over again for them to really click in. So keep showing up, keep praying this prayer over your children, and the prayer that is based on this verse is, "Lord, we praise you for the special, unique way you designed our children. May they know how wonderful they are." The second prayer and verse I want to focus on is found in Psalm 1, and this is, again, one of my very favorite scriptures, if you notice kind of a pattern here. This one is Psalm 1, 2 through 3. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers." The reason I love this verse so much is because it reminds us that a tree that is planted by the streams of water has many roots. It doesn't just have one or two roots holding it in there to the riverbank. It has many small roots holding it in there to the riverbank. I know you've seen a picture of a tree clinging to the riverbank, and this is the image I want to give you there. And so as we're looking at a tree clinging to the riverbank, we see all those small roots, and we need those kind of roots in our own lives. You can think of going to church and quiet time and things like that as a big tap roots that you see going across the bank. But we also need those tiny roots. And this is where it comes in that we're abiding in Jesus. My first book, Abide 40 Ways to Focus on Jesus Daily, gives you a ton of ideas on helping yourself abide in Jesus. And then a ebook that I co-wrote with Christy Thomas, Sacred Pathways for Kids, also gives you a lot of ideas on how to abide in Jesus based on the way God made your children, those sacred pathways. And so I'll link both of those in the show notes for you. But really what this is, it looks like connecting your family to God throughout your day, not just showing up for church once a week. That is a great root to have in your life, but it shouldn't be the only root to have in your life. As I mentioned to someone just yesterday, if our religion never leaves a church building, it doesn't do anybody much good. And so we want to show our kids how to bring Jesus, how to include him in their everyday lives. And so for our family, that looks like things like I'm praying on our way to school, maybe listening to the Bible or the story or some other devotional on our way to school. It might look having a memory verse put up in our kitchen that we say once or twice a week. And I say once or twice a week because, quite honestly, our schedules are crazy. We do not get to it every day during the season in our life. But it's there on the wall. They can read it. And then once or twice a week when we're all sitting down at the table, I'll encourage them to say it. And after 10 times, I take them out for ice cream. And we've been doing that for about a decade now. We get through anywhere between 10 and 24 verses in a year. And the reason for that is because my goal is not to have them memorize 500 verses by the time they're 20. My goal is to have them memorize set many verses, but I want them to know the meaning of those verses and for those verses not only to be planted in their mind, but in their heart. And so that's another thing we do. I have verses around our house. I have some of these prayers from Everyday Prayers for the School Year. If you got the pre-order bonuses, you had some printable prayers in there. So I printed those out. I wrote my children's names in those, and then I put them on their doors as I'm saying that blessing over them at night. So that's another way we stay rooted. We stay rooted through Christian music. There's a lot of different ways you can stay rooted as a family based on how God made your family. Even just commenting as you go about your day, wow, look at that sunset God made. Look how creative he was with that flower. Look at that waterfall. Pointing out to our children just as we're going along how God is present with them always. But we want to show them how God is present with them, help them develop those roots. So when the storms come, they're going to have that abiding relationship with Jesus that will keep them strong when the waters rise, so that they will still hold tight to him. And as this verse says, that in all that he does, he will prosper. So the prayer that goes along with this one in the book is, Lord, may our children delight in you and bear fruit in their season. The third prayer I want to focus on comes from Matthew 10:29 through 31. It says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So often, especially nowadays, as you guys know, the numbers are up on suicide, on anxiety, on depression in our children and teens. It is scary how many children are taking their own lives, how many children are depressed and not talking to anybody about it, how many children are stressed out and anxious. We need to continually found them in God's truth, help them root into God's truth, that they are special, that he cares for them, that he knows when every single bird on this planet falls to the ground. If he cares that much for the birds, imagine just how much he cares for our children. We want to ground them in that truth. I think one of the reasons Jesus used the birds is because, one, as I've learned from some studies I've been doing recently, the teachers over in the Middle East kind of have the habit of talking and teaching as they walk along. They're not like our teachers who lecture in front of a class like I do for my students. They are teachers that their students follow them along throughout the day, and they use whatever is present to remind their students of the truths of God, of whatever it is that they're teaching them. And so I just imagine some birds sitting on a branch as Jesus is teaching them this lesson about how valuable they are. And I love this lesson because not only did it help give the apostles and disciples at that time a clear visual of how much Jesus and God love them and how much he cares for them, but today even, we all have sparrows or small birds around our houses. Even today during an ice storm, I just saw a tufted titmouse, which is one of my favorite birds because of its light gray coat and feathers on its back. But even seeing those birds in this ice storm reminds me, if God cares for that little bird on my back porch enough to know when it falls to the ground, just imagine how much he cares for me, his daughter. And we want to remind our children of this truth, that even when they're feeling lost, even when they're feeling like it's the end of the world, even when they're feeling like things will never, ever get better, the creator of the universe loves them and values them and sees them. We want to continually ground them in God's truth about them and what he says. And so the prayer that goes along with this one is, Lord, may our children know that they are valued by you because they are yours, not because of their accomplishments. The next prayer I want to go over is from Titus 2, 11 through 14. This one says, for the grace of God has appeared and bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Now, there is a lot of information in that verse. Let me break down what I want you to take out of it. As we're going through this book, Everyday Prayers for the School Year, we're praying a lot of different things over our kids. And this is the next to the last chapter in the book. May they show self-control. And the last section of the book is praying over the fruit of the Spirit. And as we're looking at that, that can seem rather overwhelming. But one, as you're praying through the fruit of the Spirit through the book, I want you to remember that these are fruit of the Spirit, not fruit of Johnny or Patsy or Sarah or Tim or whatever your child's name may be. It is fruit of the Spirit growing in their lives. So the closer they walk and follow Jesus, the more they pray and ask for his help, the more that fruit of the Spirit will start growing in their lives as they follow him and stay connected to him. The second thing is that it tells us that why we're living these godly lives, because we're waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're not doing these things just because we want to walk right, talk right, sing right, and pray right, just because we're afraid of getting into trouble. We are doing these things, one, out of gratitude for what Jesus has already done for us, saving us for our sins, as he says here, to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people of his own possession who are zealous for good works. We're zealous for good works because of the work he's already done in us, because he is purifying us, because he has redeemed us, because he has saved us. We're working from grace, not towards it. The other reason is because we have a hope in heaven. Unlike when you're watching a movie and you're biting your nails on the end of your seat because you don't know what's going to happen next and is the hero going to win, we know the end of the story. We know the hero wins. This life is just preparing us for the life to come. It is preparing us for heaven, our home. There is hope in that. That no matter what happens today, we know the end of the story. We know where we're going and that we will be home in heaven one day, no matter what. And so we want to teach our kids to place their hope there. So on the days when everything goes wrong, when they screw up and completely fail in band, in their technology, in the chess tournament, and whatever it may be, when they completely fail and lose, or even on the days when they completely ace it and hit the ball out of the park, win the football game, win the baseball game, win the tournament, win the competition, we want to remind them ultimately where their hope is found is that they're going to heaven one day. Yes, the lows may be low and they may seem like dark, dark tunnels. When we find out our parents have cancer, when we find out we have cancer, when we discover that someone we love was in a car wreck or that something has happened that we just can't stop, Those are awful. Those are hard. Those are dark days. But we want to constantly remind ourselves and our children, this is where our hope is found. No matter what we walk through in this life, good or bad, light or dark, we have a hope in heaven. We know the end of the story, and we want to help our children to ground their hope in that. And the prayer with this one is, may our children turn away from ungodliness and live a self-controlled and godly life as they wait in hope for Jesus' return. The last one we're going to look at is from Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Ultimately, we want to help our kids through learning who they are, whose they are, where they're going, that they trust God with their lives. It is so easy to want to take control of our lives, especially when we can't see what's going on, when we're not sure of the next step. We want to be like Abraham and Sarah, and even though we know the promise, even though we know God has promises, God has said X, Y, or Z in the scriptures, and there are so many promises from Him there, that we want to take things into our own hands, that we want to make the promise happen, that make Ishmael come. And instead of the promised child like Isaac, we end up with Ishmael, which causes trouble, it causes contention. As we know, God can even redeem us from ourselves when we have taken control and chosen to trust in our own actions and what we can see. But ultimately, we want to help our children trust God, to not carry those burdens on themselves. Will they have jobs? Will they have projects? Will they have school? Yes, they need to show up every day and do the tasks God has given them to do today, to follow the path He has laid out before them today. In their lives right now, that will most often look like schoolwork and sports and extracurricular activities that He's given them to do today. But in showing up for those small things and being faithful in the small things, doing their best to study for the test, doing their best to read that book or write that paper or whatever it is, they need to ultimately learn to trust God for the results. They show up, they do their best, they're diligent in their work, whatever God has given their hand to do today, they do it well. But ultimately, the results are up to Him. Even as I was writing this book, I had just found out that I was sick with a chronic illness, and I had just had COVID as I was writing this book, and then I was still feeling really bad from that. And then a few months later, I found out I had a chronic illness, and I was like, God, I don't know how to do this. I have no idea how to do this. But I showed up faithfully each day, and I spent about 30 minutes to an hour writing the first draft of the chapter, and then there were drafts to be had after that. I found out that what was most important to focus on, because I couldn't focus on all the things as we were launching this book. And so Brooke with Million Praying Moms and I worked on a plan to launch this book well and to be faithful what God had called me to and her to, even as I found out I had this chronic illness. And we kept showing up. We kept going on with what God gave us each day. And I am just floored by all the hands He has gotten this book into. I am continuously amazed by the doors He has opened. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, that was not my doing. It was all Him. The glory and the praise goes to Him. If you are holding this book in your hands or thinking, maybe I should pick that up, the glory and the praise goes to Him for getting it into your hands, your friends' hands, because I was so sick during the writing and launching of this book. I did not feel well at all. But in that, I still kept showing up a little bit every day for what God placed before me, and the results were left up to Him. Will the results bring about success every time? No. But your audience is an audience of one. God asks you to do the things He's given you to do today, whether it's feeding your kids, cleaning your house, burping that baby, holding that sick child. He's given that to you today to do it for just an audience of one. He's asking you to do it for His glory, to love that person He's placed in front of you for His glory, whether or not anyone else ever sees. And He is asking the same of our children, to do it, whether or not anyone else ever sees, to just trust him with the results. That's not your burden to carry. And it's not our children's burden to carry. So as we close out today, let me pray our last prayer. May our children trust in the Lord and follow his path for him. And I'm praying the same thing for you, dear mama, that you will trust in the Lord, that you will follow his path for you and your family, and that you will help your family be rooted in God as you continue throughout this day, this week, and this month, and the rest of this year. If you would like a copy of all the prayers I just prayed, go to the link in the show notes and you can download lock screens for every single prayer so you can carry them around on your phone or mobile device. Let me close us out in prayer. God, thank you so much for the opportunities you give us. Thank you so much for the opportunities you give us to pour into our children and bring glory to you. I just ask that you will help our families to know that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, to know how much you love and value us and cherish us, to be confident that our home is in heaven with you one day, whether that means we pass away on this earth or we get to see you coming in the clouds, that the end of the story is written. May we look to you and raise our eyes to you for what you have for us today, for your path for us today. May we seek you first and most. Please help our hearts to trust you, even as we seek to follow you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for joining me. I will see you back here next month. Bye-bye.
To make sure you don't miss a single episode, please hit the subscribe button in your podcast app. If you found this podcast helpful, please leave a rating and review on iTunes to help others find Over a Cup and join us on this journey. Thank you.